Deck the
Deck
halls
the
with
halls
ivy
with
as
boughs
of
of
holly.
holly.
Shabba-labba-ba.
La 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 la
Welcome
My
back.
Mariah Carey impression, everybody.
Heard.
Oh, okay, I got everyone off to a good start.
If I could sing like her,
We
oh,
just
game over, dude.
annihilated
I feel
everyone.
like y'all weren't in tune and in sync with me. Oh
I
my
feel
God, there are
like
lights. Whoa, hey.
you weren't in tune and in
Oh,
sync
careful.
with us.
Whoa, there are lights here.
Yeah, we put up lights earlier,
All right.
remember?
Yeah, awesome. I started putting up lights. Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
We physically put up those trees. You don't remember? Like,
Yeah.
I do remember. I remember we went in. We went in. Yeah.
Bunch of
Yeah.
presents we wrapped too. We did a lot of work, and I
Yeah.
guess we just have amnesia. But yeah, how's everyone doing,
Yeah.
man? It's been a little bit doing
Welcome
this.
to the first week of December. We have a nice little special episode because y'all are gonna be abandoning me tomorrow.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I feel like every episode this month is going to be special because it's Christmas time.
Oh
It's
yeah.
very true.
Every
Very
Christmas episode is special.
true.
Yeah, we're bringing in the Christmas spirit, so this is, we need this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are recording a day early. We are recording on Friday. We usually record on Saturday, but that is because two of three of us will be traveling,
Yeah.
and we will not have access, or it would be easily accessible. And also, we wanted to keep you guys entertained. So here we are on a Friday night.
Yeah, for
It's the
sure.
golden rule of content creation, being consistent.
Yeah. Rule,
The
that was
golden
rule number
rule,
one.
said
Yeah.
by like Jake Paul or something, or Logan
Yeah.
Paul
Oh,
or whatever. I don't
God.
know.
Speaking of Jake Paul, I want to start it
Oh
off.
gosh, why did I even?
That's a good way to start.
A few things, a few things. I want to ask a question before I ask this question. Did you guys see the fight between Nate Robinson and Jake
I
Paul?
didn't
Did
see
not.
the fight, but I've basically
Okay.
watched it enough off of like TikTok and Vine and all these
Yeah.
places to where I've seen the fight.
Okay, I didn't watch it either. I should have better phrased that. Did you guys see the knockout?
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Nate Robinson got lit up.
Dude, okay,
Dude.
so if you haven't watched it, if you're listening, Jake Paul, he was famous from Vine. He did shows like Bizarre Bark on Disney Channel, but now he's this like tool
Well,
that
he's
is
always
just
been a
some
tool.
like
Let's just get that.
he's
That's
always
very
been a tool.
true.
But
Like,
he's
if
been
you.
open the dictionary and you see D-bag, like it's him and his brother like together, like
Oh,
etch
yeah.
and sketched, you know,
I
like
like
in the Webster
to.
Dictionary.
I actually like listening to Logan Paul a little bit. His podcast is actually kind of cool. I mean, he does open up conversation there. Jake just seems like he's entertaining. I'm not gonna lie, he's funny to watch. But I think he's a douchey person. He's a very douchey
Oh
man.
yeah.
But basically, a lot of these like YouTubers or Vine stars, TikTok stars, whatever you want to call them, have decided to get into like the whole boxing realm, which is cool. That's fine with me, man.
Why though? Boxing's
I want to
dead. Like, let it die.
Vine dies and they're like, oh, I guess I gotta make money somehow.
True.
So
Yeah,
like it
yeah.
starts
It
picking up like street
is.
fighting and
Yeah.
it's
There's
crazy.
OnlyFans. What happened to that? Now we're just going to
Oh
boxing?
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay,
Boxing's
but the
like
thing is with
OnlyFans.
this is before the fight, everybody thought Nate Robinson was going to win because Jake Paul had boxed only like one professional bout before this one,
Yeah.
and he won. It was when his brother fought KSI, and KSI won both times, I believe. But Jake Paul has been like training. He's been training with like actual boxing trainers and things like that. But everybody still thought Nate Robinson was going to win because he's like a natural athlete. Played basketball for like what, 10 years, Elijah?
He
Something like
played
that.
for a long time,
Yeah.
and I specifically remember Nate Robinson with the Bulls during that run when they're trying to take down the Miami Heat.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I remember him from. But
Yeah.
he was a good player. Like, he's not like the whole thing, like, oh, he's a retired NBA player. He's only 34. Like, he's still a world-class athlete if you make it to the NBA and play for 10 plus years. Like, he's not just a scrub, you know?
But this what's funny is that this shows that not sports don't translate well into all like other sports.
It's very true.
And so everybody thought Nate Robinson
Unless you're Bo Jackson, but whatever.
greater yeah
That's very
greater
That's a
Oh,
one time.
that's
That's a one time occurrence.
fair. Michael Jordan actually played well in the I think minor leagues. He
He
did
did good
well.
in the minor leagues.
So I'll give it to Jordan too. But
yeah.
But again, Nate Robinson was gonna win. They thought, they said it. This is what's gonna happen. Jake Paul finally shut up. Match came, round two, knockout within like the first, I think, minute or so.
It's like 30 seconds. Like they walk out of each other's corner, and then Nate like kind of just goes up at him, and then Jake lands two punches right at the jaw and then the upper temple, and then just Nate just falls flat.
What's funny is round one, Nate Robinson got knocked down already once. So you kind of feel it was going to happen soon. You just didn't know when. But he lasted all round one, and then round two came, and he got knocked out. And Twitter and iFunny and every social media site you could think was having a field day. They were calling it the Nate Robinson Challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, my god. Lay
on the ground, basically, dude.
Just laying down.
Now, this is where my question is to you guys. Do you guys believe, like, YouTubers, TikTok stars, ex-Viners or whatever should go into, like, boxing? Or, like, would it be fun? Or is it fun to watch these guys go into boxing and beat the crap out of each other?
It's not fun. Like, why did people pay for this?
I feel like their followers and stuff would watch them do anything, you know? Yeah, like, and that's the thing. They're like, if they have any remote like aspiration for anything, whether it be boxing or art or whatever, or music, you know, a lot of people try to do music after that. It's just like,
true.
I don't know. I feel like they know that their fans are going to follow them anywhere, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's like the Gabby show. Gabby Hanna, like, she like went like and tried to become a singer.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people aspire for that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if our like four followers saw us go into a boxing ring, like, would they support us? That's the real question.
That is the question.
Well, they're about to soon. Whenever I get my first amateur fight.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah. That's right. I'm cutting weight. Remember.
Yeah.
We're gonna have
no carbs while I'm in New York.
We should have like a match with our fans, like all four of them. We should totally just like square up against them, you know?
Absolutely.
4v1. That's
dude.
It.
Let's go.
No teams.
No. Just do the tag team like in wrestling, you know?
Oh dude, that's cool.
Like we'll do like a nice little rotation, you know?
Yeah. Three-man tag match. Yeah,
exactly. Like Chris can get the biggest guy because you're clearly the best trained fighter we have. You know,
I wouldn't say
Daniel, I feel, is agile and swift. You know,
I got the schmooves, dude. I could out schmooze somebody for real.
If you got schmooves.
I got the schmooves, dude.
I don't know. I think it's entertaining, but now Jake Paul is calling out Conor McGregor, and like it's different when you're calling out Nate Robinson.
What the heck, dude?
But when you're calling out a legitimate fighter and saying you're going to knock him out, that's an issue because Conor McGregor, granted Floyd Mayweather was already out of the game, but he went. I think it went to decision or something.
It went to decision, and that's where Floyd Mayweather. makes his money because I don't think he's ever knocked out anybody.
He's a defensive fighter, so a lot of this stuff is just like counterattacks and kind of like staying back and letting the other guy charge it.
Yeah, because if you make an opponent miss, it's like worth a point or something like that, and like a boxing score, and so like that's how he racks up and wins all these things because you can't hit him.
Yeah. You know, the boxing and some fighting or martial arts and stuff like that attract a lot of egotistical personalities, and I don't like the Mayweather thing. I don't like the McGregor thing, like on a personal level. Like I'm not attracted to that. Like as a person, I'm not like, oh dude, like I'm rooting for him because he's a good guy or anything. You know, it's just because you want to see some guy with the ego prove it, you know. And I think that's why that's why it's easier for a guy like Jake Paul to get into it because he has that ego already. Yeah. He's like, it just translates so well, but it's not like, it doesn't, as a new viewer, I guess I would call myself. I'm not like, oh yeah, he's totally cool guy. It's just like, oh, look at this guy who with an ego also have an ego again. And now he's like ego challenging McGregor. And I'm like, oh gosh, like, what do you expect? You know, like that's exactly what you expect from a guy like that.
And that's the thing with any kind of like fight sport or like combat sport is I would argue that it's like 75% like ego. You have to be able to like just talk crap on the daily. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
you're like it's constant promoting. And within that promoting, all you're doing is just talking about how trash your opponent is, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's where Jake Paul fits in well is because he would talk crap about Nate, and then immediately after the fight he's already talking about Connor, mentioning how going on his brother's podcast, mentioning he would, you know, beat Connor and everything. Like, that's the whole thing is like 70% yeah. is talking. And that's why a lot of like being someone who's like been watching MMA, like a lot of the fights I see are big because of the talking. And like none of it is like, when people see a fighter who doesn't promote their fight, which is when they would, you know, be egotistical, like for those fighters they end up kind of just they'll watch them, they'll be the greatest fighter ever, they'll be like Jan Blachowicz or whatever, he's a light heavyweight champion in the MMA, Polish power is what they call him, super quiet dude, very humble, doesn't talk shit or anything, one of the greatest light heavyweights right now, but people don't see him that way because he isn't as like vocal about his power. Like he doesn't have that like egotistical kind of vibe to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you have to have that sort of moxie if you're going to be in a sport where your job is to beat the crap out of somebody else.
Yeah.
Like, like I wouldn't want like a nice passive person, you know? It's like if you're a quarterback or like a safety in the NFL, like you're going to get beat like 7 times out of 10, you know?
Yeah.
But those 3 times, they're going to be the ones that change the play. You know, and so you like I would want somebody that has that sort of moxie and ego rather than someone who's a lot more passive and timid and like beta thinking instead of being alpha, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because I like the guys who just don't say crap. Not that they're passive. They just don't interact that way. They just choose not to interact in that kind of a they're like my actions are going to speak for myself on the mat type of mentality, you know, and that's what I like because then I see the guy rambling and all this crap and I'm just like I don't like that, but like I get the energy, I don't like I mean you know, it's not attractive to me, and then he gets his ass beat and I'm just like, well, there you go, like you can't live up to what you're talking about, so you just I don't know, it's funny to me.
It's funny you say that kind of reminds me of like Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kobe was a
Kobe son. Right,
was that Mamba. He wouldn't ever like unless you talked to him aggressive, unless you came at him like that, which no one ever did because it's Kobe, no one's gonna come at the king like that.
I would have
yeah
no oh my god,
try
good
that
luck.
Fade away against me bro, try to fade away against me bro.
Elijah, you have my undying loyalty unless you're going against Kobe. You're on your own, dude.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. Like, you know his talent, and it's like you wouldn't even try to talk like that because you know what he can do, for one. Yeah. It's something like not knowing what you're up against, but like Kobe would just stay quiet, and he would just prove it. Like, he would just shoot. He would be the highest score on the team. He would win the games. Like, he wasn't ever out there, or, you know, most of the time he wasn't out there like, oh, we're going to crap on him or anything. Like, he was just did his thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I get where you're coming from, Daniel. I for some reason though, it's just, I do enjoy hearing that banter and like the things like that. But only in MMA though. Like, that's the only time I'll like enjoy listening to these two fighters are about to fight Saturday, talking just insane crap, and some of it is like extremely witty and hilarious. Mm-hmm. And you would think like a comedian sat down and wrote this, like it's so
funny. Right. That's true.
Like, that's what I enjoy hearing. But you know, when it comes time to the fight, like they are like focused in a sense, and they are just like in their bag, in their head, getting ready to just beat the crap out of someone. And like I feel like MMA is the best of both worlds, to where they can talk. At the same time, they also are just like, you know, I'm here focused. I know what needs to get done, and now I'm going to go ahead and go out and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear about what HBO Max just did?
No.
No.
They came out with this video, and it's like check out what we have in store for you for 2021, right? Uh-huh. And they were like, all these movies are coming out in theaters in 2021. It's like 17 movies. And they're like, and on the same exact day that they're released in the theaters, they're all going to be on HBO Max at the same time. So like, what? They're basically coming out on HBO. Like, so with what they did with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
They're literally doing that with all, or like 17 movies of their 2021 roster. So that's,
I'm still
like
trying to process that, like March 2020's happened.
Yeah.
Let alone like that we had to start preparing for 2021.
That's very true.
So, oh man.
All right. The new, weird new Tom and Jerry movie. It'll be in theaters and on HBO Max on the same day. Like it'll release.
I haven't seen the trailer. I really need to watch the trailer.
I think Val saw it and she questioned her existence and reality. Yeah.
It's not something we needed right now, but
no,
you know, it's weird.
Is it something that we'll ever need though? Like
it has what's his name? I'm blanking on his name. It's Chloe Moritz or whatever. She's in Carrie and the new Carrie and all that good stuff. Yeah. Oh, it's not Mari. He's in Ant-Man. You really like him. He's in Ant-Man. He's the
Michael Peña.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's in it, but it's like super corny. It's not like high caliber acting. It's like super corny.
How dare you not call Michael Peña high caliber? How dare you?
I think he's cool, man. It's just he's like this hotel manager or something, real heavy accent, and it's not what we needed. I would have been totally cool with just Tom and Jerry, all cartoon,
but in real life. Of like hitting and slapstick stuff, like that's what Tom and Jerry is.
But the thing is, that goes even further. Like they shouldn't even do a movie. Like you can't. Like yeah, go stick with their original stuff, but like you can only take that in for like 20, 30 minutes. You know what I mean? Like an episode, like a regular TV episode. I'm not gonna sit in the theater for an hour and a half watching Tom and Jerry just beat it. They're doing an MMA match all of a sudden. You know,
I mean, we recently went kind of on a little cartoon spree, and that was perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with just Tom and Jerry by itself for a little bit, but a movie. Anyways, Godzilla versus Kong is going to be straight to HBO Max 2 when it's also released.
I still see
the new one, right? I haven't seen the new one either.
I haven't seen the new one.
She loves the whole kaiju sort of genre of stuff, and she really liked it.
It looked really good, And it also had, what's her name, Eleven or whatever from Stranger Things going like,
like screaming or whatever.
That's like her niche, dude. She's like really good at going, and they just cast her in roles that are just like,
She's already getting typecasted. That's so sad. Yeah. So sad.
So the new Suicide Squad by James Gunn, gonna go straight to HBO Max. All of these other movies, the third Conjuring, the Space Jam movie, A New Legacy, which is gonna go straight next year. The a Mortal Kombat movie. I did not know they were making a Mortal Kombat movie.
I saw the poster for it, and I thought it was just a fake one that people were like pooping on like the 90s one, which is like the ultimate 90s movie you'll ever see in your life.
Dude, I love Mortal Kombat 1 and
2. I love the theme song.
Hey, number one is where it's at. Number two,
Number two was decent. It brought a lot of like familiar faces from the game itself.
Yeah,
but number one is the OG Mortal Kombat. Best way to displace Mortal Kombat for what they had available to them in the 90s. So I'm see what they're gonna do for this.
The Liu Kang reptile fight, dude.
Yes,
that's what gets me goosebumps every time, dude. Every time.
Well, if they're doing this though, and I think we discussed it last podcast, but it's like a recurring theme on this show.
It's happening real time.
Like it's happening real time. People aren't gonna go to the movie theater if they just have HBO.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like HBO
is like AT&T, like I can get HBO for like 6 months free, you know.
Oh, like, that's another thing. Yeah, a lot of these streaming services, and we could say HBO specifically, are partnering with other like
resources. Well, AT&T owns HBO. That's why they're doing it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, no. Even like Sprint is doing stuff with like Hulu, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Like other phone companies are starting to do like pair up with like streaming services or.
Yeah, like a lot of them like did like a free Netflix thing, you know, for a year or something like that.
Yeah, everyone contracts out like their thing to help sell it better and all that good stuff. But it's like HBO is doing something that's like they did it weird. All right, so it was basically Disney was like, all right, here's Mulan, you got to pay like $30, right?
Yeah.
And then here's them like with Wonder Woman, and they're like, here's this, but it's for free 99, and free 99. Now they're like, hey, like 2021 is free 99, you know, if you sign up for the thing.
And exactly. It's just like, you shouldn't have to sign up and, you only get that 1 month free or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you go off and use, somebody else's email or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I was about to say, I have like four.
So, like, what does Disney do? You know, like, what, I mean, do they have to do the exact same thing? Like, do they have to meet demand now?
I think they do because. Numbers from this quarter for Disney just overall as a company are down, and like they're losing about like $2 billion with a B.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're losing that much money this year.
I mean, all they have right now is like Mandalorian.
You said million with an M.
Billion.
Billion. B.
I still hear million. Million. No, just kidding.
So I mean, that's why you're seeing a lot of like Disney's already started cutting a bunch of Marvel stuff, like cutting like jobs, and then they're gonna start cutting jobs for all their subsidiary. Like ESPN's hemorrhaging money, ESPN's constantly hemorrhaging money, and the same thing with Warner. Even though with HBO is gonna have all this, like, as soon as they launched, they only had about 4 million subscribers, and they haven't grown since. Like they haven't seen an upward trend. As that they wanted to in terms of their service for HBO Go. And so the executives there are like putting everything in on HBO Go. Like DC's getting cut. They're looking to sell Crunchyroll, which Sony's rumored to be picking up. So soon Sony's going to control all of the anime of the world. So this is a way to boost their numbers because they have to. And Disney's in the pooper. Especially with the parks being closed or like being limited or scaled back or whatever, like they're losing money.
I think
Disney is the Mandalorian. Like that's the only thing Disney Plus subscribers there is Mandalorian.
But the thing is, like,
better than the next biggest thing.
The thing is if the way that could help Disney combat HBO is if they were to release everything they have. Like, this is the only, like, scenario that I'm thinking of, is if they just release everything they have. They look at HBO's calendar, they release everything they have immediately. Just drop it then. But later on, that'll affect them because of the fact that, like, that is, we'll just burn through that binge watching or whatever, and then later on they won't have any content, you know? Mm-hmm. So
I think binge watching is secretly behind all of this, because like me and Val are going through Naruto, and we already finished that. We finished that in like 2 weeks, and we're going through Naruto Shippuden, and we're like 100 episodes in, and it's only been like a week, you know. Like as soon as we're done with these shows, like we're canceling. I think it's on Hulu, so I think we're going to cancel Hulu.
So I think that Disney's suffering basically because they've relied so much upon nostalgia, and it's like that's another recurring theme of our show is like we're constantly talking about how nostalgia affects us and stuff.
Yeah,
and exactly to your point, Mandalorian is the knight in shining armor for Disney right now. Like that's all they have that's new, that's progressing, has a new season, and they're keep renewing it. At least from what I've heard,
the writing's well and it's executed really well. Yeah. It's like for all the other Disney stuff, like they released like the Home Alone collection, and so me and Val watched 1 and 2, but like we're not gonna see 3. I think they made a 4th too.
Oh yeah, they did, but don't you dare!
Yeah, I'm not gonna try to tip that one.
Don't taint those memories.
Yeah. But like all these sort of like remakes, like Mulan was horrible and had horrible production. horrible numbers. Dumbo didn't do very well. Do you remember Dumbo? That was live action. Yeah. That was Tim Burton, by the way.
Dude, it was Tim Burton, and it had literally everyone Tim Burton works with, which is like Michelle Pfeiffer,
Danny DeVito,
Michael Keaton, like Danny Elfman, like literally everyone of the, you know, and
Hey, if you got a circle of friends, you keep them employed.
That's
you know,
true.
That's what LeBron James does.
Chandler. Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler does the same damn thing, too.
Kevin James, all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. If you got a crew, you know.
You got a crew.
You got an arcade, you know, do your thing.
I guess, yeah. But with all this, you can only ride that nostalgia wave for so long. Because, like, nowadays. Like,
not only that, they're not doing it right. Like, all of these movies have bombed. They bombed for a bunch of reasons, and you can't just keep grasping at straws for nostalgia. Like I'm getting to the point to where like I'm over it. Like
That's what I was just about to say. Is we are like, especially with the generations now, like as us growing up, we do get tired of things quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so like we feel that nostalgia, but I for me like personally, it, like I'm usually over it within the next like day. Like I'll hear like the news that I heard about Mulan. I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I'm so excited. The very next day I was like, oh yeah, they're coming out with a Mulan movie. Continue doing what I was doing. You know what I mean? Like that nostalgia effect is getting to the point where it's not lasting long on like us and like the things that we loved so near and dear to our heart. Like when we were children, when we were younger, aren't having the same effect now. And we're just like, we just don't let anything kind of like bog us down with in terms of like that nostalgic feeling.
And another thing too is these like remakes aren't holding their weight compared, because everyone's gonna pick the nostalgia movie over the remake. Like everyone's picking the original Aladdin over the new Aladdin.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, so like they're
Lion King over the new Lion King for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Jungle Book as well. It puts Disney in a really tough spot. But they got to make decisions, not just like at their creative level, you know, like Kathleen Kennedy, like she's got to go. They need new people in there, you know, they need. And plus the MCU isn't putting movies out.
I know.
I mean, think about how much MCU pulled money in for them, you know?
Right.
And so now they don't have any movies coming out. They don't have any stuff in the works.
They do. They have, and the only reason I know this one is because I love Hawkeye, but they have the Hawkeye show that they started filming.
I
love her.
See,
so.
That's awesome, but like always gonna make this point. I'm like, dude, you're too late, dude. Like I'm already done with Hawkeye, dude. I don't care about Hawkeye anymore. Like they should have done that like way earlier. They should have done Hawkeye.
Between Thor and First Avenger, when you introduced Hawkeye,
I think they should have done both. What is it, Black Widow?
Black Widow.
Or Black? Yeah, they should have done a Black Widow movie, and they should have done a Hawkeye, Nick Fury movie. Like
Hawkeye real. Nick Fury movie would have been cool.
Like I'm
telling you, it could have been like a draw, dude.
It could have been a Marvel. Give us a call, Marvel. I mean, we're all about the Snyder Cut, and I'm totally into HBO Max right now. But we can fix you, Disney. Yeah. I'm just letting y'all know.
I get where you're coming from, because like with the whole like Black Widow thing, I'm like over it too. I'm like, why didn't they do this sooner? But I think I'm excited for the Hawkeye series just because he's my favorite superhero. Like if he wasn't my favorite superhero, I'd probably be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like
Pixar. You know, like with Onward, they released Onward in theaters, right? Or did they that would go straight to Disney Plus?
See, I got confused. I think that it happened right when all this stuff happened. So I think they put it straight
for a little bit, and then it closed, and then they just put it on Disney Plus as like a courtesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, that slept upon, and I was like, dude, that movie's awesome. That movie's awesome.
I don't even think Disney Plus. Because I didn't have Disney Plus when I watched it. And I think I was on Netflix.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, no. Never mind. I did watch it through Disney Plus.
It would have to be on Disney Plus because this is not releasing anything outside of their streaming service.
Well, you know what new Pixar movie is probably going to be slept on is this Soul movie.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get released straight to the service
on Christmas Day as well.
Yeah.
So, woman are going out together.
But it's like, you're not even hearing the hype on that. And that was, I was hyped for that, like, early on when they released the first trailer.
That first trailer, yeah.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
Yeah, we talked about it. We said, like, this is a movie that we're all going to go, like, we'd be all willing to see in theaters.
Yeah. I'm just not hearing the hype for it, man. I feel like people are already forgetting about it. And especially because it's Wonder Woman's going to be on the same day. It's just like, oof. It's like if you would go to the theater, if you're going to the theater and you see Wonder Woman on Christmas Day and you see Soul, which one are you going to go to, like, to go see? It's probably going to be... going to see Wonder Woman, yeah. So, you know, we'll see about that.
Yeah, interesting stuff. We'll see what happens.
The movie world is just so warped now and just so convoluted and
it's crazy. Getting crazy.
Yeah.
So
by theaters, sorry to say it.
I know it might be the nail in the coffin but geez. So. Speaking of movies and Christmas, I'm tying this all together now. Me and Emily, she actually went on like a Christmas Carol, like the actual Charles Dickens story. She went like on a movie spree, and watched like at least I think it was like two or three of them. She watched like the Mickey Mouse one.
A lot out there.
Yeah.
Like there's the Jim Carrey one. There's the Muppets. There's like the a super old black and white one.
Yeah, I've only seen like one of them.
Yeah, they showed one in school that I remember watching, and I was like, "That one is actually really cool."
Yeah. Well, we'll see the Disney one, or she watched the like the Mickey Mouse one, and you know, typically, and I think the one I've seen is also like very child friendly. You know, it's played around with in a softer sense, but like the Jim Carrey one, I'd never seen that one. And we watched it, and it's like scary and dark, and it's supposedly like verbatim of the book, and it's crazy. Yeah. I don't know, man. I was actually shook. It was actually cool movie.
I think that Jim Carrey one is the most true adaptation of ones that I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I love that one, and. Me and Val, we started watching Home Alone 1 and 2, and we're trying to save, like, the good stuff, like, for, like, the week of Christmas, like, Jim Carrey's Grinch and stuff like that, but we started watching Elf last night. Such a good movie.
Dude, that's the one we say for the Christmas Day, dude.
We do the TNT 24-hour marathon of A Christmas Story.
Yeah, that's true. All 24 hours of Christmas Day.
All 24 hours, yeah.
Jeez. I don't know how they still get away with that. That's awesome.
It's not, you know, it's cable. You can do a lot of stuff with cable.
I used to could not find Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I could not find that movie anywhere. And it was never airing anywhere on Christmas. And I could always see, the freaking The Christmas Story, and it was just the worst. I was like, why can't I watch the movie I want to watch, and everyone gets to watch this for 24 hours? It's the worst.
Christmas movies are great. We're gonna break those down like the next coming weeks or so, but yeah, like we started Elf.
Nice classic.
We're I don't know like what's next in terms of like a Christmas viewership, you know, but I just started putting up lights.
Oh, nice.
I grossly underestimated how many lights I'm going to actually need.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. So like we have a little patio, and I'm going out like wrapping like little blue and white icicle lights around the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have a 200 count strand, which I think is like, I have no idea how many feet it is, but like it barely even reaches halfway. So I got to get at least one more. You know, and then I have like this big pole that like helps support the patio, so I gotta like do something with that.
Wait, have y'all got a tree yet?
Oh yeah, everyone, we found Val's Christmas aesthetic, finally.
What is that?
Yeah, what is it?
Red and gold.
Oh yeah,
red and gold. White.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No. Okay. So, So we went in. Okay, we went to Walmart to get a tree, and we found a really nice, like, semi-frocked tree, kind of like this one on
the
screen.
Is it like this one over here?
It's almost like that one.
Over yonder.
Over yonder. Yeah, like right there. We go. Yeah, yeah, right here. There's a squirrel in there.
Is that a squirrel?
And so we go there, and of course it's Walmart. They're out of that one, and mm-hmm. so we're like, fine, we'll go to Walmart.com and we'll order it. Because shout out to Walmart, they actually have 2-day free shipping compared to Amazon.
Wait,
no, if you order something at Walmart, you have free 2-day shipping.
So same thing with Amazon.
Yeah,
but Amazon you pay a Prime membership for that.
Oh, so you're saying it's free 2-day shipping? Yeah,
you don't need to sign up for anything. Oh, you just order it; and it's automatically there.
But it is Walmart.
Wow,
though.
He's really throwing shade at Amazon.
Yeah, I know. I was like, wait, Walmart.
Oh, I mean, Jeff Bezos could absolutely be Santa Claus. He just chooses not to.
But they have better products,
there are
and
the
they're fast.
There are the shots. I was waiting for those.
Amazon Walmart debate coming soon.
Yeah. And of course, they're out of it on Walmart.com, so we can't find this really nice tree that we like. And so I was just really upset. And then we would go to Amazon. We find a tree we like. We order it. Less than like 5 hours
later. You literally
later,
just proved the point why you pay for the subscription.
Okay, so we order it, and like 5 hours later, Val gets an email saying that we canceled the order.
Oh,
we never
yeah,
did.
But that happened, right? Okay, gotcha. Well, there you go.
So we never canceled the order. Someone did. And so we reorder it. Gets canceled. And
so
it keeps saying
Target. Yeah.
So then to Target. Nice.
So we went back to Walmart.
Oh, gosh.
And because the Target ones are, like, ridiculously expensive.
Yeah.
Okay?
Everything
we're
is
trying to find something under $100. And Target, like, that's, like, the starting point was, like, $200.
Target's
and
expensive.
And then we went back to Walmart. We found another tree, but it turned out to be just – it's perfect.
Mm.
We went with the warm lights. Don't do the multicolor stuff. Not a big fan of the multicolor stuff. And then we found red and white bulbs. We found gold bulbs. It only cost us 3 bulbs because they were glass, and all 3 of those shattered.
Oh, gosh.
Val cut herself cleaning up the glass.
Oh, my gosh.
Good thing she's a doctor.
What are y'all amateur Christmas people?
That's what I felt like. It was horrible. I
is this your
so
first Christmas?
I felt pressure decorating my tree for some reason. I felt
well,
so much
your
pressure.
First Christmas married, so y'all are probably got the heebie-jeebies.
It's very true. We went and bought our first Christmas ornament or whatever.
Yeah.
Dude, it's day 4 in December. Relax.
Yo,
breathe.
2-month anniversary, and they're like freaking out.
Also, Daniel, did you notice how he just threw shots at Amazon and Walmart?
I mean,
both of them. Just
I'm an unsatisfied customer.
Well, I was like, because he threw shade, and then I was like, well, that proves the point. But then he made it come around, and I was like, okay, I got you now.
Yeah, halfway through that, I couldn't tell if he was complimenting one or.
Yeah.
Yeah, insulting the other. I was just so lost.
Insulting. Don't worry. But okay, so real tragedy though is I have this Iron Man ornament.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cool little action pose with Iron Man.
Tragedy.
I'm pulling it out of the Hallmark box. I drop it.
Oh no.
And Iron Man's foot is shattered.
Oh my
and
gosh.
His wrist is shattered. But I have the technology to fix him.
Oh, dude, you did. Yeah, you have the miniature glue and stuff.
I have glue. I can put this guy back together.
Or you could make him like Infinity War. Like you could hurt him a little more. Get a new one.
Yeah.
And like hurt him a little bit more, but also make him look kind of like Infinity War.
Like battle worn and stuff.
Yeah. Like put a good slash right here on the on the chest, like.
Oh, that'd be kind of cool. I kind of like that idea.
Go for it, man. Get a new one, though. Get a new one, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. But we found the Christmas set. We put it up. We went to Hobby Lobby. Shout out to Hobby Lobby.
Oh, dude. Always great this time of year.
Yeah. Like, they have 50% off all their Christmas stuff. And we went there on a Saturday. But it was crazy.
Hmm.
like we stood in line for like almost 40 minutes.
What?
Holy yeah. crap.
I've never stayed like, that long in a line.
Like, and this was every single aisle. And we went and bought like a bunch of decorations and stuff. And everything was 50% off. So we're kind of going a little too ham. But yeah, we waited in line. Like the lines were wrapped around the store, like into the aisles and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, jeez. People are vicious at Hobby Lobby. Like, Karens need to calm down. Okay.
From Black Friday to like the end of December, like that's when people are the most intense at.
Well,
like,
that's the thing though. I went out on Friday. Mm-hmm. I went to Target on Friday, and Walmart on Friday. Nothing.
But like, Hobby Lobby. Dead.
Really? But
on Saturday at Hobby Lobby, like there are certain levels of Karen. Like the Hobby Lobby Karens are a little more tolerable, but they were out in force. And like nitpicking everything and like hitting my basket and stuff.
Dude, yeah, I hate going
shopping. Running around, like, get your Kyles under control.
Oh my gosh.
They already have a monster can with
do
them.
Do they even sell monster at Hobby Lobby, dude?
They do not.
I actually think they sell drinks. They do sell drinks and candy there, though.
They have candy. Yeah. I mean, they have a crap ton of candy, guys. They have a crap ton of candy.
Well, like, who goes to Hobby Lobby to get candy? Let's be honest.
Well, if you're a Karen, you need something to get you by for your crafting.
I don't know. I was going to say to like
crafting and candy
for your kid's name Kyle, but yeah, that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I started putting up lights around the house, and it looks really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So like, I'm super excited, and I believe my mother's coming into town, so that'll be fun.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a long trip. That's like a really long trip, though.
I think she's going to fly, so it'll be like maybe an hour and a half.
That's great.
So,
that's actually really good.
Yeah, that's a quick fly. And you're not too far.
No.
It's like from Corpus to Houston is like 30 minutes, like in a good time, 45 if you're being delayed. Yeah. You know? So right Baton Rouge is like distant time, so it'll be like maybe an hour and a half.
Nowadays, not a bad flight. It'll probably be like really like no waiting, and it'll be dead at the airport. Probably.
The CDC said that, like, this is why I can't stand the CDC. They said that it's like your chances of getting COVID on an airplane are like virtually impossible, even if the plane's full, mm-hmm. which is bullshit.
Mm.
Wait, they said that?
Yeah, the CDC released that report. Yeah,
that's weird. My flight, they wouldn't fill it up. My flight, I'm pretty sure you guys have seen it, but they're doing the whole like one person sit, empty seat, one person sit, aisle, empty seat, one person sit, and then they go on to the next one.
Yeah,
and like they're because like the way like my brother and I were gonna leave at the same time, but he moved his flight up. But originally, he was gonna sit in front of me rather than next to me.
Why did he move his flight up? Why does he not love you?
Well, because he was going to go today. Because he was going to go with his wife so they can visit his brother-in-law. But it got delayed again, so now he's not leaving until tomorrow morning anyway, so he should have just left with me, but whatever. I mean,
yeah, I get it. It says most viruses and other germs don't spread easily on flights because of how air circulates and is filtered on airplanes. That's at least what they're saying.
It makes a little sense.
I mean, but
we're
being
all with that air. It's
but it's I mean, it's saying, I don't know. It's saying it's filtered and circulates different up there in the air or in the airplane. I don't know. Who knows?
That's what I'm saying. Who knows?
CDC.
I took a COVID test. This is for our audience.
Oh, cool.
I took a COVID test. I stuck something in my nose, and it went good. It went well.
Those things are very weird, man.
I teared up a little bit because I had to do it myself, so I didn't know that. I just went to like CVS. You just go through the drive-through, and they like use a little pharmaceutical thing to where they like put it in, and then it sends it out.
Give us a description of what a pharmaceutical thing is.
It's just a nose swab in a tube.
Yeah.
And you take it out, and you do it all in your car.
Yeah.
I did one not too long ago too. It was I didn't have any symptoms or anything. I just did it so that I would know that I was negative when I visited family. But that's the thing. Chris is tearing up and stuff, and yeah, this thing is like, oh, it's a weird swab, and it's a bunch of like fibers on it, and it is very sensitive. You have to put it in your nose and then turn it like back and forth for like 15 seconds, and it's like got all these fibers on it, and I didn't have any symptoms, but I was sneezing and crying all over the place. And
so. Yeah, that's another thing. I was sneezing a lot after. Like, it's uncomfortable. It's super uncomfortable. I was saying this before the podcast. I don't think it's so intense to where you need to like freak out about taking it. Like, I'm gonna go ahead and tell people, if you want to get tested, I would say go ahead and get tested.
Yeah,
yeah, so it's easy.
Uncomfortable. It sucks, but you do it 15 seconds around one nostril, 15 seconds around the other. You're done.
Yeah,
it was just I didn't know what to do. So when I drove up, he put it in the little chute that they send it to you, and I did it, and he was on the intercom. He was like, "All right, so grab the bag out of the other bag," like, cause it's like one bag, and in this one bag there are like three other bags. And he was like, "All right, grab one of the bags."
Yeah.
And I look so confused. I just look at him and go, "Which one?"
Yeah.
That would be too. Knowing me, I would feel so much anxiety. I would just drive off.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a multi-step process. I can't do it.
Because they're used to, like, you know, all right, what are you here for? You know, you picking up, you dropping off, whatever. And they're not used to, like, all right, here's how you do. Like, they're not used to walking people through physical processes. So.
Yeah. And you could tell this guy was over it.
Yeah.
I could tell them. I asked one question. He took a minute to respond. So I asked him, like, okay,
shit. That's what he did.
Yeah, or,
like, I'm pretty sure he did.
Heavy sigh, like.
But even if he was talking shit, I wouldn't be able to tell because he was wearing a mask.
Yeah,
hold on. Funny thing. This is like the perfect time to talk shit about anybody in public because they can't see you saying anything.
I'm an idiot. I still like if I make awkward eye contact with somebody, like at like a Walmart line, I still smile.
Dude, I do too. Yeah.
So when I'm at the museum and I'm smiling and talking to somebody, it's like, I feel like that's a good thing. Cause you can like kind of tell if someone's smiling, you know?
Yeah.
But like if I'm out in public and I'm wearing a mask and I smile at somebody or like I talk to somebody, it's like,
we have to learn how to smile with our eyes like models do, and I don't know how to do that.
I just open up super wide. Just
yeah. That's creepy though.
There's nothing else you could do. Just I'm happy now.
Yeah, it's so yesterday we went kind of like a quick trip to Target, and we bought like 17,000 monsters and gamer fuels.
Yes.
Shout out to Gamer Fuel. You get double XP.
Sponsor.
I tagged Mountain Dew. I went and found their account and like liked it on Facebook, and like I started putting a bunch of comments like our podcast. And
oh, dude!
And then I started putting
invest into our podcast, Mountain Dew. Like, send us some of your stuff so we can drink it on air.
I know. Like, I have plenty of room for a fridge in my now clean room. So.
Oh yeah, exactly.
What was I talking about?
Monster Mountain Dew.
Cashier, and you know, she's like, we're buying like 17 monsters. Like, it's an unhealthy amount of monsters and caffeine on this conveyor belt. And
is it though?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely. I needed more. Val needed more. And I go up to her and I'm like, I swear we drink water. Lady didn't even smile or nothing.
Oh, you hate to see it. Acknowledge it. You actually hate to see it.
Dude, this is also another thing. Like, I feel super bad for, like...
for retail workers and stuff?
Yeah, retail workers, because...
I mean, they got into it. They got into it. They signed up for it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you're not wrong, but, like, also, like, I would like to show appreciation when I go into the store so they know that their job doesn't completely suck, you know?
Right. Right.
I can't show that when I have this huge mask on my face and they can only see my eyes and nose. Not even my nose. Yeah, my eyes. True.
You better be covering your nose there, boy.
Yeah, don't be wearing a chin diaper, dude. It goes over your nose, bro.
South Park.
NFL coaches. South Park. You know, wear your mask.
Did you watch that South Park?
So Emily's dad came over a while back. Maybe it was last weekend. Thanksgiving, huh? Thanksgiving was like, what, 2 months ago?
So I know. That's what it feels like.
It's so, Thanksgiving real quick.
We're just cruising and we're just chilling, and South Park pandemic special is on there. Obviously rated R, guys. Don't watch in front of your kids and stuff. It gets kind of crazy. But yeah, they make fun of the pandemic. They pretty much make fun of all sides of the spectrum when it comes to like the riots and the, you know, the masking, the social distancing, everything that's happened. They make fun of it all. So it was, you know, it's South Park. It is what it is. But yeah, then they coined the, you know, like the chin diaper, like everyone's wearing their mask right here. You know, or just completely off their face. Like they're wearing a mask, but it's right here, not covering anything. And, you know, we all know people like that. So,
yeah.
Or we've seen people like that.
I thought they did it well.
Yeah.
Just, okay. So this is going back to like my previous episode, our previous episode where I mentioned this, but this is why I like listening to like comedians talk about like politics or issues in the world or things of this nature. Just because they're always coming at it at the most unbiased, like more like centralistic point of view, to where they're gonna make fun of both sides for it.
Yeah,
it's hilarious because that's what this was. Is like they were making fun of like both the anti-maskers and people who are like very stern on wearing masks, and they were just making fun of them all in one place at the same time.
Yeah, we enjoyed that. I was kind of surprised that they did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen South Park since like high school.
I didn't really watch it much. So every time I do, it's kind of, well, Emily either gets me to watch it. She what's the Inception one where they go into like 7,000 dreams? That one's the one I've seen like numerous times. Yeah.
Where they like go into like the therapist's office.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like the whole fire, like the firefighter, or is it the firefighters? And there's like a football team or something too. I don't know. There's like a whole bunch of people that go into the dreams.
Yeah. Dude, it is South Park. Me and my younger brother would always like watch it whenever a new season started. So we watched it often. When this pandemic special came out, like we watched it that day, and like we just stopped what we were doing and turned on. And I can't tell you how bad we were laughing, dude. We were dying, dude. It was like, I thought, is that like the first time like during the pandemic where I'm like legitimately sitting there and enjoying content like out in the world that's not making me feel terrible, that's so funny, that's so enjoyable, and that's so relatable.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Dude, right. Check it out real quick. It is Murphy's birthday today.
Happy birthday, Murphy.
And here's we're in the puppy park. And they're all playing in the snow. She's 3 years old today, man.
That's crazy.
Damn. So she can see Archie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's her boyfriend, dude. Her boyfriend's not here to celebrate.
Right? How dare him?
I know. Yo, so 3 years ago, well, just around 3 years ago, we brought Murphy into the apartment, and it was a surprise to Elijah.
Very surprising.
It was really funny, because actually I just took Emily to go to my dad's, because he had a bunch of animals there, a bunch of dogs. I was like, hey, it's kind of like PetSmart. You can just go see a bunch of dogs, like no strings attached, right? Wrong. She wanted one of them. So I was like, all right, like, you know, I'm like 1 month into the marriage so far. So I'm like, I don't want to mess this up, you know? So she's like, I was like, all right, we'll take one.
Before having a child, to get a puppy and to talk about responsibility. So yeah. There's that.
Yeah. Exactly. So we end up doing that, and we bring it home, and it was very cute. Murphy was very cute that day.
Yeah.
And she was tiny. She was hella tiny. And we bring her into the apartment and we're like, hey, Elijah. And then he comes out of his room and he goes like, oh, is that a puppy? Like super high pitched, dude. High. You know how puppies make people's like voices go super high. And Elijah's was very high that day.
Well, the thing about it is I'm pretty sure I dreamed Murphy into existence. Now, I'm a pretty big proponent of lucid dreaming and dreams in general. Dreams have meanings, stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But the night before y'all were coming back, I dreamed that you and Emily were bringing home a dog. And I was taking care of Harley, so I think that's why it triggered me to think about another dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was chilling with Harley, and then I go to sleep and stuff. And my dream was, like, y'all coming into the apartment with a dog.
That's
and like then that day y'all came to the apartment with a dog. So it's crazy. And my first name for Murphy though was Cloud, because she was really white.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's grown up, she's gotten some like really pronounced spots. But I voted for Cloud. It was immediately shut down, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think Murphy's a great name.
Yeah, you know, we wanted something a little unique and weird.
Yeah.
So okay, yeah. So I absolutely love Murphy, and when I first met Murphy, she wouldn't really come to me or like she would let me pet her and everything like that, but like she was usually just kind of like out and about playing in the backyard because I'd be Archie. And I remember the first time I think it was the time I came when Elijah was officially moving, and I came over. And it was the greatest moment that I shared with Murphy, because I got in and Murphy was so excited to see me. And I was like, this is awesome. Then we went to sit down somewhere. And usually I would like try to call Murphy before and she would never come to me, or like she would never jump on my lap and just stay there for a second, let me pet her. And I called her to try it, and she came running, jumped on, just sat on my lap and let me pet her for a second, and then went and ran along and did her thing. Like that was
yeah.
the greatest Murphy moment I've had. So
yeah.
I'm glad you got her.
Yeah, man. It's been interesting. Well, I'll have to spend the whole weekend with her. 3 years old is just crazy. What
That's super crazy.
Dude, they grow up so quick.
For sure.
They do.
Ruby mentioned on the chat here that Jim Carrey's the best Grinch ever, which I agree with.
Oh yeah.
And then like Jim Carrey was also Scrooge. Like he's just had the monopoly of like cranky people in Christmas.
Yeah. Well, even to go a little beyond Christmas, Eggman.
Oh. Yeah, he did that too.
He was Eggman, but again, that's not Christmas related. But yeah, he does. I only know the Jim Carrey Grinch, though. I don't know any other Grinch.
Oh,
the
there's a new one.
Super classic, like animated Seuss book Grinch.
Oh yeah, that's what.
Definitely go see that. That's great because it's verbatim of the book.
Who did the voice for that?
Oh, some guy.
Some OG guy from
OG guy. Yeah, like but the new Grinch that came out. Was the most horrible thing I've ever seen in a Christmas
movie. Oh, that was a Benedict Cumberbatch, wasn't
Benadryl
it?
Benadryl Cumbersnatch.
Yeah.
Cucumber. Yeah.
No. Jim Carrey is my Grinch.
It's like the Despicable Me people did that movie, right? It's like it looks like Despicable Me.
Yeah.
It pretty much is Despicable Me, but just with Grinch implanted on it.
Yeah.
And it's so bad.
Weird characters that don't exist are in there, and it's dumb. It's a dumb movie. It doesn't like the Grinch isn't Grinch enough. Like I don't know. Everything about that movie was just stupid. It was wrong. It was sacrilege. It was
nothing wrong with the OG and the Jim Carrey one. I mean,
nothing wrong with those. No one calls for a remake of the Grinch.
Absolutely not.
No one's calling for these remakes.
We do need a Mortal Kombat remake though, or at least down for one.
Show me the trailer first. Show me the preview first.
Dude, I didn't even know that was happening. I'm like, I want to watch Mortal Kombat now.
Dude, the games are cool. They're still like coming out. Like the games are so fun.
Oh yeah,
weird characters like to be involved in Mortal Kombat, like the Terminator.
Yeah,
Arnold I think Freddy Krueger is a character.
Rambo.
You know what that means, though? Is that everybody can catch these hands.
Oh my God. Exactly. And then, Rambo, I think, was like just released or something Rambo, like that. Like Rambo. Yeah. Like
RoboCop. Rambo. RoboCop was in it for a little bit.
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were in one.
Injustice, too.
Oh, yeah. There is Injustice, I think. I don't think it was more.
Well, they're both made by the same same company, I think. So.
Yeah.
It's just, it's just great. That's great.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat has a good movie.
Yeah. So I have a complaint for y'all.
Okay.
I can do a rant real quick.
Let's do it.
Okay. It's Christmas related because it's we're starting college basketball a little later than usual, which I enjoy. I'm okay with that. More time for the actual content of football. Okay. College football or college basketball is happening, and they usually host a tournament over Thanksgiving weekend, but they delayed it for this weekend, which I don't know what the 1 week meant, but it happened. Mm-hmm. The Maui Invitational, which is a really good tournament, that it's a really good way to kick off college basketball. Always features really good teams, really good matches, stuff like that. Blah blah blah. And it's in Maui. Like, come on, who doesn't want to go?
That's true.
Who just want to go play basketball in Maui? So we get to the final and the championship game, and it's Texas, my boys, and North Carolina, my real boys. So blue blood of the basketball world and Texas, who's good this year. They should be good this year. Shaka Smart, you're not fired. You have a grace year. Do it, you know.
Do it.
And college basketball is a dying sport, I believe. You know, the one and done thing's really killing the talent pool in there. There's no development. Offense sucks.
G League money
is calling all of these players to leave. So like offense sucks. Like you're lucky to get like 25 points and a half nowadays, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like in the 90s and early 2000s, like when you had like Five Slamma Jamma, the Fab Five, like college basketball used to be great. It used to be great. And I'm still trying to stick to this sport. I'm trying to tell people about it. ESPN does really good stuff. They have an announcer, though, that needs to go rotten hell. His name is Bill Walton.
Wait, what was it?
What was that kind of take?
Bill what?
Yeah. And he's Bill Walton.
Walton.
Great NBA legend. I respect what he did for the game. But as a commentator, he sucks.
Yeah, I agree.
Him off the mic. Like Dick Vitale is 100,000 years old. Oh, but at least he talks about the game that's happening.
He's got energy, man.
Bill Walton went on a 10-minute tangent about the Alamo during the game. Which that's great. I'm all about the Alamo and, you know, the Carolina connection and stuff like that. Don't spend 10 minutes talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, during the game.
During the game. That's a transitional thing, like coming back from the half or a commercial or a timeout or something like that. He spent 10 minutes talking about it. And his little, the play-by-play guy is like trying to move the game along. And Walton is just tirading.
He just keeps going back.
Like he's trying to move on.
It's like we didn't prep any graphics for the Alamo or anything, so let's move on to the game.
They don't prep anything, and he always talks about like there's always the commentator bias. I get it. Like with Kirk Herbstreit, like doesn't like Texas, loves Ohio State. I get it. I'm gonna have bias if I was commentating.
So you think he was just not wanting to talk about it because it was. What team he didn't like?
Pac-12. It's not like the conference that he played in. So like he doesn't care.
Oh, okay.
He's just talking and talking and talking and like isn't breaking down any sort of play or anything. Or like doing his job as the color analyst.
Gotcha.
And so if you're trying to get into college basketball, I apologize if he's calling a game. He just so happened to call Texas, North Carolina, which, like, for me, like, I cut off work early. I'm sitting in front of my TV. I did all my hair. Stuff. I'm ready to watch this game, and this was the announcer that you chose.
I finally washed the dishes, so I didn't have to later, so I could spend time watching game.
Exactly, and that's what happened. They put Bill Walton on the screen. Get him off the network.
Dude, do you think his like his co-host or whatever just they like cut the mic at one point and he Dude. Just turned over and he's like, done it before. Bill, I need you to just shut up right now.
No, they really have done that before.
Like, we're gonna like, go to break and just like just like hit him
outside that. that's what I'm saying that they've done this before and you can sell it. Like it gets contentious. It's right. not like you know like there are great commentator duos. And then there are just some bad commentators mm-hmm. out there. Like Joe Buck gets a lot of flack.
Paul Pierce.
Yeah. Well, Paul. Honestly, though, Paul Pierce is not that good. Like
he's bad.
Like at first I liked Jalen Rose. I don't like Jalen Rose anymore.
Oh.
Nah.
Like his takes and stuff are just. They're stupid.
I mean, he's not as you know.
He's not as bad as Skip Bayless though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, like those people, I can't stand him and like Nick Wright and stuff like that. Like really, all I really listen to now is Chris Coward,
or Colin Coward. Yeah.
And only then it's like it's kind of sparingly.
Yeah, for sure.
But I mean, there are some great commentators in basketball, like Dick Vitale. Mm-hmm. You know, he's 100 years old, but you can still tell like he loves basketball and like he'll talk about it. Jay Billis is a great commentator. Like I love listening to him talk. I get rid of Bill Walton. Like I can't like you're hurting the sport that's already dying.
He needs to go to hell.
Go to hell. Go anywhere else but the court.
You've done, Bill Walton. It's just in the Pac-12, okay?
We're living in like a world where it's like important to get these points across, and it's important for them to recognize what you're saying. They should definitely pick up on that professionally anyway, and they should make changes. But we're living in a world where it's like, hey, like I'm a fan here. Hey, I'm letting you know, like this sucks.
Yeah.
Like Snyder cut, you know, like get me this, you know, things like that are happening in this world right now. Yeah. And that, you know, we just need a voice.
And you don't have a shortage of commentators. Like, ESPN, especially for college basketball, like they have commentators all the time, you know, like get rid of him.
Just focus. Commentators should just focus on the game and give their takes after the fact, or let the podcasts that are based around sports do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like the reason why I'm listening to the Color Analyst is to break down the game, break down the players, you know, talk about the game itself, not go on 10-minute tangents about something completely unrelated. And Bill Walton does this constantly.
Have a tangent, like come up, I mean, prep that beforehand, have graphics, spend like 30 seconds on it so you can get your point across.
Yeah, like, don't just bring that up. Meeting like you talk to the players and the coaches and stuff before the games, like y'all have time to do all this stuff.
And that's the thing, like if they're
says F it and just goes off and just talks about the hour for 10
and that's
minutes.
The thing, it's like they're legends and stuff, so they kind of get some leeway to just talk about whatever the hell they want. And so I mean, do they get backlash, you know, from execs or from I mean, it has to be from us. It has to be from you.
I feel like they do, because I know that they've cut Bill Walton's sort of like airtime. Like he's only calling like X amount of games now. Used to be like he'd call every other game. It'd be like Jay Billis and Sean McDermott, which great tandem. Love those guys. I love the play-by-play guy that's partnered with Bill Walton right now. Mm. But I can't stand him. Like, so I muted the game, put it on my tablet, and I watched a really horrible Steelers-Ravens game that shouldn't have been played.
Ooh.
So I watched that instead of enjoying a great game. Like, it came to a last-second buzzer with Coleman hitting that three, calling ice in his veins. Like, really great moment, really good moment for the program, for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
The second year in a row where you've beaten North Carolina, you know, it's and they got a really good player in Mark Brown, who's like, you're watching this guy, super athletic, super high end on the development end, and I can't enjoy any of that because Bill Walton's talking about the Alamo for 10 minutes.
Jeez.
and not talking about the game.
So, okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In terms of like commentators.
Yeah.
For the TNT crew.
Yeah.
Do you like how they comment like in halftime or at the end of the game? I know this is for NBA. This isn't for like specifically for college.
Uh-huh.
They do NBA games, but do you like that or do you
consider that
more? Oh, you do?
I think the crew that they, I mean, they won an Emmy. Like that crew is good. Yeah,
but you know Ernie, man. You know Ernie's like mad every day, dude.
You know Ernie's struggling in the back. Like he's definitely doing some heavy sighs.
Oh, Ernie, dude. I feel for Ernie sometimes, dude.
Like, and it just it ends up turning into like a roast of Shaq or a roast of Chuck.
Or just them like yelling over each other and Ernie can't close out the segment, dude. Like yeah, Ernie, dude.
And you know in their earpiece they're yelling at him.
Yeah,
you know?
I think they probably pay Ernie real good to put up with all their shenanigans.
Oh yeah.
They're I think they take care of Ernie. I think Ernie's a good guy. They take
He's
care
a good
of
guy.
Just, like,
I love Ernie, dude.
I was just trying to like
those crews are good. Like I like that. Like,
that's hilarious. It's fun.
Show your personality. I'm not saying just completely shut off and be autonomous.
Mm-hmm.
Show your personality and stuff. Just don't be so extreme. Like you're turning viewership away from the game. Like don't be like that, you know.
If you show your personality, keep it to the game. Show your personality within explaining what the game is.
Like Dick Vitale does a great job. He's like he's got a lot of energy and he loves the game. He loves what's happening and he feeds off what's happening on the court. When you're not even feeding off what's happening on the court, it's like you're just there talking about nonsense. It's like you're not even doing it.
Love him calling like the high profile bass like Duke versus Carolina. Whenever I love watching him call like a Duke game or a Michigan game or something like that. Like you can tell like he's in it.
Yeah.
And he said like he feeds off the crowd, he feeds off that gameplay and he breaks stuff down, you know, and Jay Billis is the same way. Like Jay Billis, like, you know, it's the same way. And it's I don't know, like again, it's a dying sport. Keep the commentating, like it's such an integral part of a game now, like especially if you're watching on television, you know. Like I'm not gonna watch certain commentators because I don't enjoy them, you know. Like I at first didn't really like Romo because I think he makes a lot of weird noises. Like he does a lot of weird noises and stuff when and he's like, ooh, wee, ah, ooh, ah, yeah. Oh,
but the thing is like,
he calls plays, though.
His investment within the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, he's calling plays. He's like, hey, watch this receiver on that bubble screen. And all of a sudden, the bubble screen happens. Like, it's great. Like,
dude, there have been clips of, like, him and whoever he's, like, partnered with that week talking about something. And Tony Romo will cut him off and say, look, they're about to do this. Or he's about to throw an out route to whoever.
Yeah. And he's calling defense, too. And he's like, watch the blitz off that linebacker, you know. And you're like, oh, okay, all right. Oh, there he goes.
Yeah. You know? Like nothing happened. Like it was a normal day.
Crazy.
So my rant is against Bill Walton specifically, but against commentators. And, like, we need to hold them more accountable. Like, everyone poops on – Joe Buck, but I actually kind of enjoy Joe Buck. I won't lie, but we need to hold these people higher standard. Like we need to cancel them on Twitter, you know.
Cancel them. Yo, it probably sucks too because they're running like skeleton crews right now anyway. So it'd probably be hard to even get rid of people.
Well, with ESPN, I mean they let John Gruden walk and you know, they let Mike Tirico walk. I love Mike Tirico. Him on NBC now is per, like he's calling Notre Dame games with Mike Dungy. Awesome.
Really?
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And then him and Chris Collinsworth called the Ravens game and that was fun. That was fun to listen. Like I could listen to Chris Collinsworth call football.
Yeah, I was about to say he's like my favorite commentator when it comes to NFL games, dude.
Yeah, like I can listen to him all day talking, you know, and it's just like I don't know. We need to get these people get
them out of here. Just get them out.
Yeah.
Get them out.
Like, I don't want to call the his job. I'm gonna call Phil Wilkins' job. I'm gonna call for it. Like,
oh my god, he didn't even like sexually assault a woman or anything. You're just calling for his job.
It's crazy, dude.
I want to enjoy it. I just wanted to enjoy Texas, North Carolina. Couldn't do it. One of those things is next time, like, he's on a game and I'll have the ability to turn it off. I realized I could have done this, though. There's the local sports station, The Horn. They have a guy named Craig Way. Great guy. He calls really good games. Like, he's the voice of Texas. Like, he calls all the Texas stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I should have muted it and synced it up with the basketball game and just have him talk, you know?
There you go. Do what you
do. That was my big thing this week. College basketball, I'm glad you're back.
Just get a new commentator.
Glad to be back. Just get a new commentator.
You know, like, your sport's not on life support yet, but I, you know, people don't like you until March. That's not a good sign.
That's very true. Very true.
So Daniel, do you have a rant you want to just pop out real quick, I guess, since we're bringing that back?
I mean, you know, no, not necessarily, but I have a question. Do y'all know what Second Life is?
The virtual game. Dwight Schrute played
Dwight
it.
Dwight played
I,
it.
I right. downloaded. Okay, so funny thing.
You play Second Life.
Question is, after that episode, I downloaded the game and I tried doing the intro. I don't know if it was like the game was bad, but it was basically when I like did the intro and saw my body, it was my head and my arms, and my body was just clear. There was nothing.
Yeah.
There.
It gets kind of weird.
Yeah,
it was kind of
like,
glitchy.
It couldn't have been my computer because it's like a gaming computer, and that's not like an intense game. But like,
my best part is that Dwight plays Dwight in Second Life. Like, he doesn't, like, he's wearing the mustard colored short sleeve shirt and khaki and stuff.
I completely forgot that they mentioned that in The Office, and I thought that it was kind of just something they made up. You know, like, I didn't think it was something real that they were referencing. And then Emily shows me this documentary on Netflix, I believe, and it's about Second Life, and it's people that are interviewed. It's like, I think it's like three individuals that all go through their own thing. One who's like actually making money off Second Life. So she's like designing like houses and stuff for people so they don't have to actually do it, and she gets actual currency from it. There's one who actually has a marriage and is like getting on Second Life secretly and like completely living in this world. Like, everyone gets sucked into this world because it's so, you know, there's no actual problems.
You can live your own fantasy as you want.
Right.
And there are actual, like, aside from that, I've heard like there are actual jobs you can get in Second Life.
Yeah.
This... When I downloaded it, again, I've never played it since. I like uninstalled it that day. Just gonna go ahead and say that now.
Yeah.
But when I downloaded it, and when I went to their website, it was like you can get paid for doing actual jobs. I was like, oh, maybe I can get into it. And then that's when the whole body mishap happened, and I uninstalled.
Well, I can't work. I can't work anywhere when I look transparent. That's weird. No, it's. The documentary is very interesting. It gets really into how people get sucked into that stuff. People also change their, you know, they create their avatar to be whatever they want type of thing, and it gets crazy. But Emily decided to get one just to mess around with it, and it was really funny to watch her do that because she can like fly, she can design herself however she wants, and like for the longest time we couldn't figure out how to put pants on, which was hilarious.
Maybe that's why. Maybe I need y'all's help.
So
Emily reached out to Val, and like they wanted to do something together, kind of like how we all play COD or something. So they're gonna start playing Half-Life together, or Second Life, not Half-Life.
Not Half-Life.
And so we're watching Elf last night, and Val downloads it, and she's trying to go through the tutorial, and she tries to fly, and she just shoots up, like all of a sudden, the skybox is literally just like the horizon, and it's curved out. She's so far up, I guess.
Wait, it's curved?
Yeah, it's curved. It's not flat.
So even in Second Life, the world is not flat.
All exactly.
Right, fair enough.
Isn't that and, where double proof for the flat earthers, Kyrie Irving?
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like screaming, like, "How do I get down? How Dude. Do I stop?" And of course, she didn't read any of the instructions of how to fly. She just hit up and flew.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't read any of the instructions or anything.
Yeah.
And so watching her, like, panic through all of this, like, stuff is great. And,
it's hilarious.
And it made me think of, like, all the tutorials I've done for games and, like, how stupid they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, like, Magic Arena for Magic the Gathering card game has a tutorial, and you have to get through, like, 5 of these things. I don't need to. I've been playing Magic for, like, a decade. I don't need to go through this tutorial, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it still makes you go through the tutorial.
Yeah. So. Well, there was, like, a tutorial on, like, how to put clothes on and stuff. And so she's, like, trying to put on – she, like, takes off the dress thing that she got, like, loaded into with. She's like, I want to put on some jeans. And it's just butt, and like it's like the jeans are on, and I'm like, help! I'm like looking at it with her, and she's like freaking out, and just like, why isn't it working? And at no point in the tutorial does it tell you that you have to choose a texture for whatever yeah. clothing that you're putting on. So the texture is transparent because she hasn't chosen one, so it's just yeah. showing her butt. And I was like, well, click that. And then finally we got clothes on. And I was like, it took like 30 minutes, though, to put pants on.
Oh my
it's
God.
Hilarious, man. It's hilarious to watch. But yeah, they didn't go through that in the tutorial. They just want everybody yeah. to walk around naked.
Just exactly. Just have them jump in on split screen and COD. I'm telling you, that'll be so much easier than having to go through tutorials on Second Life.
I know.
Yeah, I'll have to create some. We have to get them on COD eventually, like at yeah. least once. That would
I
mean, be
my goal in life is to do that and nothing else.
Or like, let's make like a private lobby and then just let's just go ham and just shoot everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. We can play with bots. We can set up like a 6-man yeah, team yeah, and play with bots.
Let's do it, man. That sounds great.
You can set up on rookie. Like it'd be super easy. I'm gonna use a sniper though. Just heads up to practice.
Yeah, same here. Same here
for all those. Asshole snipers out there.
Oh no, one shotters. Cool, man.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Take Do we have out. Any more church announcements? Any final parting words? Any words of wisdom?
We will. I will be back on Facebook Live at our normal time, but we're gonna start doing some mini series. So stay tuned for that. So tomorrow at 11, I'll be on.
Hey.
Yeah.
I will not.
Go check out your boy. Go check out your yeah, boy Elijah.
Please come. Please come and say hi to Elijah. Let him know that. Let him know that you love him, that you care for him, and that you
yeah.
smell as bad. Still smells bad, just not as bad. But no, definitely come and check out Elijah. He's gonna be doing history stuff? Question mark.
Yeah.
Yes, Sweet. He's gonna be bringing those words of wisdom. So. This has been another episode of the Thought Arcade. Hope you guys enjoyed it. It's December, so we're gonna have a lot of Christmas stuff
coming up.
We'll be sure to wear your Christmas sweaters, so I'm not the only one.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, thank you. No, but yeah, it'll be a lot of like Christmas related episodes, so definitely stay tuned, keep listening. We also, like Elijah said, are gonna come up with like mini series and things like that to kind of branch out a little bit, so definitely stay tuned. But yeah, this has been another episode of Thought Arcade. Thanks, guys.
Later.
Hey.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave a positive review and follow us for future episodes. You can follow us on Twitter at ThoughtArcade1 and on Instagram at ThoughtArcade. Thank you for listening and go be great.